Ave Maria. On the 17th of March, we celebrate St. Patrick's Day, in honour of St. Patrick, the Apostle of Ireland and one of the three patrons of the country. It is at once a religious and a national festival. It is sad to say that in recent decades, the religious aspect of the feast, indeed its primary aspect, has been forgotten in the midst of green stout, green faces, and dressed up green leprechauns. And it is deplorable to have to say that in more and more places, the festival has been desecrated by such shameful antics that we dare not even name them. So in the run-up to this important feast day, let us remind ourselves exactly who and what we are celebrating. St. Patrick was born near the English-Scottish border in the late 4th century. His family were of Roman stock. We believe that his mother was a relative of St. Martin of Tours, who was himself an important figure in Christendom, and whose feast day, the 11th of November, is still celebrated with great solemnity on the continent of Europe. Patrick was sold into slavery as a young lad and was taken captive to Ireland. He spent 6 years in Ireland in Slemish, County Antrim, tending sheep. And doesn't this remind us of some biblical figures such as King David, who were shepherds before being given a major assignment from heaven? He turns to God in prayer during his captivity. In a dream, he was told by God to leave Ireland, and eventually he escaped back to Britain. And again, doesn't this remind us of biblical figures such as Joseph, to whom God spoke in a dream? Later, whilst back in Britain, Patrick had another dream in which he heard the Irish people calling him back to Ireland. He went on to study for the priesthood and was ordained a priest. Patrick was sent by Pope Saint Celestine I to Ireland as a bishop in 432. He became the first bishop of Armagh. Now, Pope Celestine was the pope at the time of the Council of Ephesus in 431. This was the council where the dogma of Theotokos was proclaimed. In other words, proclaiming that the Blessed Virgin Mary was the Mother of God. This council had been held just the year before Patrick was sent to Ireland as bishop. And some scholars believe that this may be the reason why Ireland has always had such a devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary under the title of Mother of God. It is interesting to note that in her revelations, Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich talks about how she visited an island in which St. Patrick had been, Ireland, and saw St. Patrick and many of his works. She goes on to say how the Blessed Virgin used to appear and instruct him what to do. In those days, Ireland was in the grip of Druidism, a type of paganism. These Druids had a strong influence over the kings who ruled the land. The Druids knew of Patrick's arrival in the country and advised the High King to order a special fire to be lit on the Hill of Tara on the day which also happened to be Easter Sunday. By edict of the High King, all other fires were prohibited. However, Patrick had lit the Paschal fire on the previous night, that is, on the Easter Vigil. O High King, extinguish this fire now, or it will burn forever, begged the Druids. But they were unable to put out the Paschal fire, and this signalled the beginning of the end for paganism in Ireland. As all and sundry, rich as well as poor, embraced the faith. Indeed, by the time Patrick died, the whole country had been Christianized. Saint Patrick explained the Holy Trinity to the Irish by means of the shamrock, a three-leaf plant native to Ireland. To this day, the shamrock is used as an emblem for Ireland. Indeed, it has graced the livery of Aer Lingus planes for many years. As most people know, Saint Patrick banished the snakes from the country, and they fled into the Atlantic Ocean. This is no legend. To this day, there are no snakes in Ireland. This was a great grace for the country. Even Britain, which lies just a short distance away, is tormented by three different types of snake. The mountain from which Patrick did the banishment is located in County Mayo and is now known as Crowpatrick. This holy mountain is now a popular place of pilgrimage. In order to find peace and solitude for prayer, Patrick would retire to isolation of an island on Lough Derg, which is located in County Donegal. Nowadays, this place is known as St. Patrick's Purgatory and is also a popular place of pilgrimage. A small consecration bell belonging to St. Patrick is still in existence. The bell is encased in a beautiful shrine and is kept in the National Museum in Dublin. St. Patrick's bell was rung for the consecration during the Pontifical High Mass in the Phoenix Park in Dublin in 1932, on the occasion of the Eucharistic Congress. That year also happened to be the 1500th anniversary of the coming of St. Patrick to Ireland. St. Bridget, whose feast day is celebrated on the 1st of February, the first day of spring, is another important Irish saint and is also a patron of Ireland. Bridget was a contemporary of Patrick, and indeed he received her vows when she became the first consecrated virgin or nun in Ireland. Patrick wrote an important semi-autographical work called The Confessions. Probably his best known prayer is the Lorica, also known as St. Patrick's Breastplate. This is the prayer which begins, "I bind to myself today the strong virtue of the invocation of the Trinity. I believe the Trinity in the unity, the creator of the universe. I bind to myself today the virtue of the incarnation of Christ with his baptism, the virtue of his crucifixion with his burial, the virtue of his resurrection with his ascension, the virtue of his coming on the judgment day." Patrick died on the 17th of March. We are not certain of the exact year, but the Roman breviary gives it as 461. He is buried in Downpatrick, in County Down, alongside the remains of St. Columbkill and St. Bridget, the three patrons of Ireland. There is no need for us to relate here that in recent decades Ireland has not only lost the faith, but has become very much an anti-Christian society. Let us pray to St. Patrick that Ireland will rediscover the riches of the Catholic faith and once again become a beacon for the world. Ave Maria.